keep the camera off Miguel for a little bit. I'm going to like hype up who the guest is. You know what I mean? Let's do this.
They might have heard you say that.
No. Did anybody hear that? You didn't. If you heard that, no, you didn't. Nobody heard anything. I don't think we're live anywhere yet. Might be, though. Are we live?
Yeah,
we're live. We live now for sure. We are live. Did anybody hear that? I said something because I thought I wasn't live. And Danny Palm said we might be live. So if you heard that, just pretend like you didn't hear that because we got a special guest in studio. What's up, everybody? Nico, Max Jarrell, Max Jarrell. Max, we need to talk about the way you pronounce that, bro. You're just like Evan DiRucci, who says it's DiRucci. Like, we have news for you, and that is that the way you say your last name is actually wrong. It is Jarrell. It's not Jarrell, but it might be Jarrell. Don't kick me in the head. All right. We got Derek Brown in here. Nice. M. Kojo Kicks. Can always count on Kojo in here. What's up, dude? What's up? What's up? Everybody heard me. Danny Palm. All right. Just show the guest. The guest of the show. I ruined it. It's Miguel Francisco, ladies and gentlemen. What's up? You are all very familiar with Miguel Francisco.
Thanks for having me again, guys.
For sure, dude. I like that you and Lucas do the same one ear.
I don't like hearing my voice the whole time, so it makes me lose my train of thought. So
I get that.
I get it halfway in, so I can still talk.
Definitely. I think because I've done it so much at this point, the reason that it doesn't really affect me is just that like I'm so used to hearing it like this. Yeah. But yeah, at first, it's really jarring. Yeah, actually, when we first got headphones, I was like, do we even need headphones? I just wanted to go like that. Like, why can't we just talk to each other? Yeah. But then it is nice for like Danny over there and stuff. Like you can just hear everything super clear through him. Oh, my dad's here too. Sorry, I forgot to shout out my dad. I didn't see that you were here, Dad. I promise, I didn't see it.
Let's see if my dad jumps on too.
Yeah, yeah. What's his?
He's only on the Facebook though.
Okay, all right. I'll keep an eye out on Facebook. Zayner45 says Miguel is him.
Zane's a good guy.
There we go. Zayner. Miles Robinson in the house. What's up, Miles? How you doing, dude? I saw the last fight didn't go your way, but no doubt you're going to be back. You're one of the best in the area, brother, for sure. Miles Robinson is a savage.
Is it G?
Yeah, dude. So we got a lot of people coming in on IG, dude. They're excited about Miguel Francisco and his fight announcement. It's not quite 7 yet, but you know what? If you were planning exactly for 7, then that's on you. That's not how time works. We're not on perfect time here. So what's up, Miguel? You just got back from Open Mat, right? You said.
So that was originally the plan, but I ended up just going for a run and hitting the sauna. I was running into some traffic. So
fair, very fair.
Just doing that and
fair.
Good. Just keeping getting the weight down slowly.
Nice, dude.
So wait, not to interrupt you guys, but Miguel, your hat's covering your face a little bit.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, we can't, yeah. Dude. We can't have that. Show off that mug, son. James Lito in here. What's up? What's up, Lito? Also got a fight in April. Dude, this April card is just stacking up like madness, honestly. It's beautiful.
Hopefully it leads up to how good was the February one. It's gonna be hard to top that.
Dude, that February card was a great card. It was so good. Were you there? Did I talk to you?
I was not. Okay, I watched it live, but I was like screaming the whole time, especially when Craig won.
And oh, dude.
Just doubled up on that. I was just so happy. It was such a great night.
Dude, Seth Donovan in here too. My dad said Miguel wants a chip. Do you want a chip?
Not again. I'm good. I can't believe that video's gone.
Dude, I'm so upset
about
this. I did all
that suffering for nothing.
I know.
Me and Julian
I know, dude.
Oh, man.
I feel bad about it too because you and Julian, you guys really were suffering. Suffered, and now we cannot find that footage anywhere.
Really?
It's
gone forever.
So I'm not blaming Ryan. Let me be clear. I'm not blaming Ryan, but when Ryan transferred like all the videos around to our YouTube and like started deleting stuff, I think it got lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Yeah, we'll blame Ryan.
Yeah.
I'd say I'd do it again, Ryan. But I don't want to ever do that again.
Rye_Fagan82 has a good question. Can kids go to fight under 18? Yes, absolutely. It's an all ages show. Everybody can come. Just because it's at a casino, it's in the event center attached to the casino, so you don't actually have to go in the casino to go to the event center. It's all ages. You guys are all good. Mm-hmm. Derek Brown wants on the winner card. All right, I like the sounds of that, Derek Brown. Let's go. There was something else I wanted to. Oh, Craig Perry. I want to get back to that real quick, dude. How insane was that finish? Come on.
So amazing. Dude. I was so happy for him.
Yeah.
I was helping, trying to help him out so much, as much as I could. And then he threw up the triangle that I do.
Did.
And he landed it. And I was just so proud of him.
The triangle armbar. Is that what you hit on Austin Martinez and Kuzlock at Sprawl? Yeah, dude. That's like the...
He's competing too.
Yeah, he's back. Before. He's back.
Be a good match.
I love that match for sure. The whole Sprawl card is shaping up real good, dude. And we're working on a few things, ladies and gentlemen. Just keep your eyes out for us. So Sprawl in the Berg 3 on April 19th, the day before Miguel fights on April 20th. The Sprawl card, cage grappling for you guys who maybe this is the first time you tuned in or whatever. We do a MMA, which obviously that's what Miguel is going to be competing in, full-on MMA, just like the UFC, pro MMA in the cage. But the day before, we do cage grappling. So it's just submission grappling, you know, wrestling and jiu-jitsu, no strikes. And this is our third full Sprawl event. And they've been doing well, dude. Like, there's a lot of hype about it. And I love it. I love the cage grappling format, the super fights. Like, it's super fun. Miguel won at, was that two? Sprawl 2?
Yep.
Yeah. Sprawl 2. Submission, like we just said. So that card's shaping up. And we're working on a few things for the top of this Sprawl 3 card that I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch because I know how this goes. But if they pan out, you guys are going to be, like, real hyped about it. Nick Petraga's in the house. What's up, dude? One of the best Instagram names, by the way, Hannibal Lecture. I like that a lot. That's a good one. But Nick is making his 247 debut. He's an 0-0-1, I believe, bantamweight. He's fighting Joe Al.
Well,
yeah.
That's a good fight.
Joe Al's sick, dude. We love Joe Al, too.
His record is very deceiving.
It really is. It really is. And that's what, you know, 0-0-1 for Petraga's is what we've heard, too. He's super talented from everything I've heard. And he's been crazy professional with everything. That's one thing. You know this, Miguel. Like, there's a lot of paperwork to fight. Yeah. There's a lot of things you got to get done. And Nick has been on top of everything. Like, everything. He's real excited about it. Yeah. Doing a good job.
That's good.
Yeah, dude. So, for you, now, pro. Finally. What's that feel? I know. It's been a long time coming for you.
It has. I've been fighting since 2014, man.
It doesn't make sense, because how old are you?
24.
Yeah.
My first boxing match was March 3rd, 2014.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy. So you started fighting when you were like 14?
Yeah.
Nuts. How did the first boxing match go?
I lost.
Oh, okay. Badly? Or was it okay?
It was a good fight. I didn't know that you needed to pace yourself, and I was just swinging the whole fight.
That sounds like a first-time fight. Yeah. I bet it was fun, though.
It was fun. I haven't ever since then. I've just been going. And, like, at that time, I was still kind of a chubby kid. I started out at, like, 175 pounds. And I didn't know how to cut weight back then.
I just
ran every day and ate one chicken breast. And I lost 30 pounds in 2 weeks.
I mean, that's a good way to do it.
David Goggins.
Run all day and eat one chicken breast. Yeah.
And I made weight at 147. And
Dang.
With boxing, it's 2 hours before you fight.
I didn't know that. Is it even that way for, like, pro boxing? I was going to say, okay.
Yeah, amateur boxing, you weigh in at, like, 5, dude, you fight at 7.
2 hours before. Yeah. So, basically, you can't cut weight. Like, you shouldn't cut weight, at least, I should say. It's not smart. Right. Anthony Hoga back in here, says my dog. And Shane Nuttall. Nice to see you, too, Shane. What's up, dude? Thanks for tuning in. Got a good crowd here in the comments today. Let's go. Everybody's hyped about this Miguel fight. So, it is not quite 7. I'm going to wait until 7 p.m. officially. A little after 7 to actually say the matchup. But for the people who are here for the show before the show, Miguel Francisco is the pro fight announcement. We will tell you his opponent and a little more about his opponent very shortly, so stay tuned for that. But the fact that you're making your pro debut in and of itself is pretty exciting, dude. And hometown in Washington, dude. How cool is that?
Come true. Ever since I was a little kid watching, I remember growing up watching, like, Mark Jericho, Isoplex.
Yes.
When I was a little kid.
Yes.
And I was like, I want to do that. And I was like, literally, I was like a 7-year-old kid.
So back
when I trained at Mark Schrader's, he would always take me to the local MMA fights at the Isoplex. And I, like, pictured myself, I want to do that for the rest of my life.
That is so crazy.
I've just been going at it ever since.
It's so crazy that you were that young and they were to me, it's crazy because I was at those fights too, like covering it and stuff at the time. So it's just crazy that I'm that old now too. Yeah. Like, dude, Miguel was 7 when I was doing that. Oh my God. Oh, that's nuts. But also kind of surreal, cool addition to that Kalma's on the card, main eventing. Like, you fought with him at Bibby 14 too, didn't you?
I fought with him when last time I fought at the Washington Casino.
That's what I thought.
That was a great time that night too.
Every time at the casino is awesome. We tell people, like, if you haven't experienced the atmosphere of it, it's definitely different. It's not like Monroeville with the tables. It's all spacious and like nice and a little like calmer. Right, right.
It's like an underground arena.
Exactly, like, exactly.
The vibe, how dark it is in there.
Exactly, cool. Dude. I love that. I love it. Drew Landefeld in here too. What up, lunatic? Nick Petragas asked, what's Coach Schrader up to nowadays? Do you know?
I think he's just working now. I talk to him every once in a while. Yeah, me and him still keep in touch.
Nice.
I was with him for a long time, 2007 to 2017. And then, so you speaking of Shane Nuttall, after I was Schrader closed his gym down, I went to PTT, actually.
So nice.
I know all those guys over there, too.
Dude, is there a gym you haven't trained with in Pittsburgh? That's the real question.
India. I haven't trained
in India. Oh, okay. All right.
That's the only one.
Fair.
But I'm a Pittsburgh guy, so if anybody wants to help me out, I will accept it.
And vice versa, I'm sure. Right. If an Indio guy asked you to come in for help, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
I have no bad blood with anybody. Hell I will help anybody out.
I love that mentality, dude. That is cool. Chris Martial McKinnon in mindset, here, too. You know? Yeah, and you do totally embody that, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, man. I love it. All right, we're officially past 7, so we can get on to the meat and potatoes here.
All right.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but Chris McKinney, there's a chance that you guys will see him on the Sprawl on the Berg 3 card too.
Nice.
We're waiting on something there. He's a great dude. He did a commentary for us in Cincinnati and did Sprawl 2 commentary. He's awesome. Great guy. But let's talk about Danny Palm. Let's not yet with the graphic, not yet. Let's let Miguel say it first though. Let's let the good people know your matchup. We know you're fighting pro debut. Give them some opponent, maybe a weight, some stuff like that.
So I'm going to be fighting at a catch weight of 140 against a guy from a tough black belt from Virginia. It's going to be my first debut fight. His name's Dustin Bean Stanley. He's a really tough guy, man. I saw that he's been fighting since I was a little kid. So it's going to be a lot of experience. It's going to be a really tough fight. And I'm excited that that's going to be my debut because it's a good way to prove myself that I'm ready.
Yeah, dude. It's a great, great test for you, genuinely. And a great test for him, too, honestly, just knowing what you bring to the table. But I was telling you off air, like, Dustin's team is MMA Institute in Richmond, Virginia. And it's a great gym. If you guys aren't familiar with this gym, like, definitely go look them up. They have a huge roster. Crazy amount of pros, crazy amount of Ammies. Their coach, Rick McCoy, legitimately one of the coolest dudes I've ever met. Like hanging out with him, we hung out with him for a day down in Richmond. And he's just one of those guys that just kind of knows everybody, knows a little bit about everything, knows a lot about a lot too, and just a really interesting guy. So like just hanging out with him, you're like, I just like this guy. Like you just want to be around him, you know, got that magnetic kind of quality. So he's freaking awesome. So to have them coming up is awesome. For it to be your pro debut, though, dude, freaking icing on the cake.
Yeah, and like a couple weeks ago, he actually made his pro debut.
Right.
He fought one of my buddies from Kaizen.
No way.
Brandon Pagundas.
And
it was ended up being a no contest, but I'm glad that nobody got hurt because then this fight would have never happened.
Yeah, that's actually what sparked it. What was that on the Rocket Combat card?
Yeah.
So I was looking at results of that card, and I saw that that fight ended in a no contest because we were looking for somebody for you, and I was just looking for anybody that weight roughly. Mm. And it was either Jim or Ryan that eventually like said, what about Dustin Stanley? And I was like, oh, snap. He's MMA Institute. So I just texted Rick right away. And he's like, that might actually work. Let's see.
As soon as that like card ended, Anthony Hogeback messaged me. And he was like, you need the message 247 to take that fight. And
yeah,
like,
dude.
All right, let's do it.
And that's sick.
I messaged you guys. And once he gave the okay, I messaged Mike about it. And now we're here.
That's how she goes. Cowboy Eddie in here too just said big dog.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Cowboy Eddie's freaking hilarious. What a nut. He's the best, dude.
Yeah, he is.
Shane Nuttall said, congrats on the pro debut.
Thanks, Shane.
Shane got to be kind of getting close to one too, right? He's got a nice career going on.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, dude, ever since. I mean, we've worked with him once, that Tanner Cahill fight, but would love to get Shane back in now too. I know, dude. Seeing him that fight, was that fight at 55?
Yeah, it was.
I thought so.
And it was day before weigh-ins.
Yes.
And
he wasn't small.
When he fought La Roca, it was in West Virginia, and that was day of weigh-ins.
Day of 35.
Yeah,
I was at that one.
Dude, Shane, for real, how did you do that? How did you do day of 35? Because the 55 Shane Nuttall I saw was not a small 55. Yeah, like, dude, he was jacked.
And honestly, he got a knockout, so he had some power at that weight, too.
Right. That's nuts. That is nuts. Evan Furlong in here. Timbo Moore in here. Ashton Sipes in here. Man, a lot of people that some names I just said you guys might be hearing again. I'm not going to give anything away, but you guys will probably hear some of those names again soon. Timbo said, always exciting watching Miguel fight.
Never a boring fight with me.
Dude, that's big facts. For us, I mean, we talk about it all the time. Like, it's definitely, you've got 100% finishing rate with us.
Or
getting
finished. It's kill or be killed. And Wiggins got me that night. And I've been talking to him lately. He just won his debut a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So we're all just moving on to the next level.
That's awesome, dude. I did want to talk about the Wiggins fight for sure. Like, what did you expect from Wiggins going in? Was anything surprising in that fight?
On his end, no. I was not expecting to grapple that much. Mm. But I saw the takedown there and I went for it. And unfortunately, I went for it too many times and I gassed myself out. And that's just a part of the game. You learn. That's why you fight in the amateurs. And I leveled up so much from that. I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. I learned what not to do. I learned not to rush myself. And then whenever I fought Jerry Valme, who's fighting tonight for Maverick.
Oh, nice. Cool.
I upgraded my level a lot and I got my composure. I think I earned my rank there.
Definitely, dude. I mean, I honestly didn't see the fight, but obviously saw the result. I did see the Max Holloway clip. When you did the Holloway.
Me and him were beating each other up.
That was insane.
And it was a weight class up, so he was a lot bigger than me.
Oh, that was at what? 50, 45. 45, okay. Yeah. My bad.
I saw him at weigh-ins, and I was like, okay, he's not that big.
He's
the same size. And then the next day, bro, he ballooned up big. He was huge.
Dude, I don't know how guys do that. I won't say any names, but I've heard several guys talking about the next day they're 35 pounds heavier than they were at weigh-ins. And it's like, dude, that doesn't seem humanly possible. Like, obviously it is. You did it, but
Alex Pereira is an example of that.
For sure. Oh, that doesn't even make sense. It really doesn't make sense. Shane Nuttall said it was hard. Not going to lie. I definitely felt it during the fight. Yeah, dude. I can't even imagine. It doesn't make sense.
Him and LaRocca with the war.
Bro, LaRocca is super fun. Anybody who's watched the podcast for any amount of time knows. We love him. Oh my God.
So friendly in the cage.
He's the friendliest human I've ever met, I think. Literally, the friendliest human I've ever met. Got Joe Al and Hustleton here. Sarah Faust here. Roman Flannery here. Holy crap. Danny, look at these names in the chat today, bro. This is like a celebrity chat.
Hello, people.
Miguel brings them out. Shane Nuttall said, I'd like to work with y'all again at some point. Let's do it, 100%. Shane. Hell yeah, dude. Let's make it happen. But yeah, dude, I want to, on the Wiggins fight, I just want to get back to that real quick. Because obviously he suffered a first round stoppage there. Did you think the weight cut was played into it at all? I was curious. I've just been curious about this myself.
So it's the way that I made it.
Okay.
I was the first time making 35 since I was 19. Mm. So I was a little stressed about it. Mm-hmm. So, and you can ask my teammates about it and Mike. I made weight at 6 in the morning and I was walking around like a zombie for the next 12 plus hours. Damn, and I like, they saw how I looked and how I was just walking around like a zombie. And I learned that, like, if I'm going to make weight like that, being that it's a big cut for me, I need to not make weight so early.
Yeah, you got to time it a little better next time.
So I think that's the only thing. I don't think it was the cut itself. Mm-hmm. I think it was just the fact that I made it too early.
Sure. That makes perfect sense. And just this fight was just a little close to April 20th, I think, for them. That's kind of why it's at a catch weight, which is totally fine. And honestly, 140 makes sense for you as you go down. Like you were just saying.
Yeah.
Instead of killing yourself to get to 35, just meet in the middle of the two for now. And then I assume after that, you're probably going to want to be settled in at 35.
Most likely. Yeah,
for sure. So we talk about like all the gyms locally you work with, which is extensive, but let's talk about that t-shirt, bro. What's MMA lab. What's up with that?
I've been training at the lab lately. I got an opportunity I got invited out there because Bobby was training there for a little bit. And I messaged the head coach there, John Crouch. Mm-hmm. And they had me go over there back in January. And they welcomed me like family. And I can't wait to go back.
That's awesome, dude. They're really good people there. I remember when I was working for Flow Combat, this was probably 2017 would be my guess. We did a road trip and went to the lab, hung out with them all day. And like even then, like the room was stacked. It was like Benson Henderson, mm-hmm. Mackenzie Dern was there at the time before she was still like working her way up and fighting for like RFA or whatever it was at the time. Scott Holtzman was there. Ryan Barberina, I think, was there.
There's so many like 35ers there too.
Yeah. Sugar Sean was probably there, but at the time we didn't even know it was a guy to talk to.
I saw O'Malley there. He wasn't training that day, but they did like team pictures.
Okay.
He was there. Awesome. It was cool to see like people my size there just being like, oh, I guess I am a 35er, you know, because I see the 45ers there and they were like beef cakes compared to me. Yeah.
Especially there, dude. Like when you've got that UFC level talent, like UFC weight cuts are just even, like you were saying, Pereira or like Benson. Benson's legs alone weigh 155, dude. Like, well, how are you doing that? Doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Logan Fink here too, dude.
Yeah, I got that. Whenever I was in Arizona, I was staying with Logan and Seth Donovan.
Nice, dude. Oh, that's sick.
They helped me out a lot.
So yeah.
Spent a lot of money.
What did Ferdaz kind of open the gates for this, or what was the connection to get so many guys like you, Ferdaz, Logan, Seth
Seeing that, because Seth and Logan were already there.
Yeah.
And seeing that Bobby had the opportunity there, I messaged him and I was like, how are they like open to like people? And he said, yeah, just hit them up. So then I DM'd their MMA Lab Instagram page and they said, yeah, here's head coach's phone number. And I gave him a call and he said, come to the next flight.
That's wild, dude. What did you have to send him, like fight footage of yours or anything? Nope. They just trusted that you were who you said you were.
Yeah, because just because they knew, I guess Bobby might have put in a good word for me, I guess.
That could be true, obviously.
When I went there, they all kind of already knew about me because his teammate, Vinny Diaz, was there, and he knew about me. So
I heard that a lot. Well, Vinny's a savage, too.
Yeah, he is.
Just got his – well, didn't just get his black belt at this point. It's probably 6 months ago. I just told somebody this I just told somebody a fighter just got his blue belt, and it turns out he got his blue belt like a year ago. And I was like, dude, in my head, that like just happened. Time goes fast, right? Dude. Time goes so fast. So yeah, my sense of time's all warped. But that's sick, dude. MMA Lab. Obviously, work like that, I'm sure, is just crazy. Yeah. That many level, and not just UFC. You know, they have guys of all levels there. Yeah.
And just seeing like how they train and just their mentality being there, it helped me level up a lot mentally and just being there.
How's great? What's the, like, as an out-of-towner, what's it like when you're there in terms of like interacting with them outside of training? Do they
just hang out
with them?
Yeah, like... I got to hang out with them on, so they trained just pretty much like twice a day. And then on Friday we went to a recovery place, and they gave me a huge fighter discount. So I just went there. We went to the hyperbaric chamber. I hung out with Vinny Diaz and Antoine Ho the whole day there. And it was nice, man.
They
really welcomed me with open arms. It felt like I was,
that's real cool,
not a newcomer.
Yeah, it sounds like they have a great thing going, man. I definitely don't want to jinx it, but this, like, I just instantly, when you were like, I just DM them and then went down, I got visions of like weirdos, you know, doing that, like just dudes that just want to meet Sugar Sean or whatever. Right. Yeah, that's crazy. SMC.exe. Do you know that person?
Yeah, that's my buddy Sean.
Let's go. He said, let's go, bro. Yeah. Deku. And Seth Donovan said, teammates for life now. Yeah, dude.
There we are.
It's real cool how the whole community works together. And obviously, you know, there are gyms that will fight each other and stuff like that, which is cool too. Like, we saw the Cowboy Eddie and Hoot fight. Like, that atmosphere was, that's how that happens. Like, when Pittsburgh fights Pittsburgh and it's two popular dudes, like, that's the kind of special atmosphere you can get. But on the flip side, this sense of camaraderie and like we're all working together for a common goal, also really special.
No, I love all my Pittsburgh guys. I try to my best to help them out. I try not to pick sides.
Yeah,
I try to welcome everybody as a team, you know,
for sure.
Team Pittsburgh, you know,
I love it. And you're one of the most active dudes probably in Pittsburgh, grappling, fighting. Like you said, you just fought for Cage Wars,
won
their title.
Even with that injury, I was only off for 4 months, which is not a long time for
it. Was it a broken jaw? What did you have?
A broken jaw. Man.
Sorry if you
I got bolts and screws. I'm titanium jaw now. And dude, I don't think anybody can knock me out anymore.
Dude, now that you said that, like, I distinctly remember you texting me at one point and, what card would we have been matching? October,
that
probably.
Fight. Yeah, I was like,
bro, you need to.
I'm
not a doctor, but there's no way you can fight yet.
Yeah, the stout team was a little upset with me when I said that, and I was like, can I grapple? And they were like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Like, all right, we're gonna meet right in the middle.
Yeah, you're not gonna
I
get.
I just
cracked.
Wanted to compete, you know.
Dude, that's crazy. What's it? Does it just kill you when you have to be on the sidelines during a
card?
Yeah,
so bad. I'm trying to get on your guys' fight in February, but it was just such a stacked card. It was hard to get on. That just 2 months of not training. I mean, I trained, but not being able to fight was like, oof, sucked.
Is it different for you? Because you do train so much. When you're in an actual fight camp, like now, when you've got like a date in mind, a target opponent, does it change for you?
It's just more focused on an opponent compared to like generally sparring everybody.
Right.
Maybe more just sparring people that are more like my style of my opponent. And I spar harder when I'm in camp.
Right.
But besides, it's about the same.
Nice, dude. So since the last time we've seen you, I think, did you get married in the meantime?
Yes,
dude?
I did.
That happened in the gap,
I got married in December.
Nice, dude. How did that go? What was that experience like for you?
Just a courthouse wedding.
Hey,
I'm poor, so
could be the way to do it, to be honest. Weddings are great. Like, I absolutely loved our wedding. It was a night that I'll never forget, despite the amount of alcohol that was consumed. Thankfully, I know everybody that was there, I think, remembers it. It was fantastic. But there is something to be said for the stress of it, the planning of it, the money, like you said. There's something to be said for a nice courthouse wedding when you know the deal. But obviously, you and her were extremely, like, from the moment I knew you guys were dating, you guys were always together and stuff.
No, she's my rock, man. She helps me out a lot, especially whenever I lost that Wiggins fight and I was in a mentally bad place. So she helped me out a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah. Does she fight or train too? She trains a little bit?
I try to get her to train. She'll do jiu-jitsu every once in a while, but I take her to some beginner classes at Stout. But
sure.
She's been working a lot because we're trying to save some money.
Nice, dude. Yeah. Do you find that it's hard for her, or does she find, I'm sure you guys talk about it, does she find that it's hard to, like, give you advice if she doesn't fight, like, about a fight?
So here's the thing. Is there, like, a disconnect? This is the crazy thing. When I fought in my Cage Wars fight, my corner, like, Mike and Will, they weren't available that weekend. So I had my buddy Mason and my buddy Jesse from Stout come. But I found out Cage Wars allowed a third corner. And my wife, she just, because... she's under 21, so they didn't let her in the casino.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, well, she's my corner, so it's fine. They're like, is she actually? And I was like, yeah. So she ended up cornering me in that fight as well.
Oh, dude.
So
that's awesome.
It was funny because she was just repeating what Mason said, but louder. But I know her, I know her voice, so I heard
she's
her
like
instead of
yeah,
Mason.
Yeah.
So it ended up working out because I won the fight.
But, dude, that's so awesome. Yeah. I love that. How did she like that experience? I'm sure she was digging it.
She thinks it's funny because she's an official cornerman now. Like,
dude,
if you look at
license,
if you look at the list of licensed cornermen, she's in the same list as Mike and Will. It's crazy.
I think people don't realize how official everything is in PA, especially. Like, PA's commission's super strict, man.
Super strict.
You're not just sneaking things in or doing stuff. There's a lot of fights that, like, I'm not throwing shade at anybody in particular. Like, literally, there's nothing on my mind when I say this, but there are matches that I see once in a while that pop up, and I'm like, we could literally never make that match in PA. Like, it just wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
So people, like, for her to be a corner woman, I guess, in this case, like, that's official, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you got a license. You got to submit some paperwork to
do
that.
Hey, at least, like, since we're a Pittsburgh, I help all of Pittsburgh. If we need a corner, you know, she can help out.
That's sick. Who's that? So a really interesting layer to this fight coming up is that I can probably say this, right? Mike and Will won't be there because they're away that weekend, which is weird. So who's going to corner you?
So I'm going to have Anthony Hoga back and my buddy Tucker from 10th Planet for the grappling.
Nice.
And then for the striking, I'm going to have the guy who helps out with Bobby's striking coach. His name's Philip. It's called Amorous Taekwondo.
Yeah,
he's going to be
he's a great dude.
Yeah, he is. Such a nice guy. Dude. He helped me out a lot. I work with him on Friday mornings.
We got to run a podcast with Phil, dude.
He's so smart.
He really is. He's like a different breed. He's kind of like Isaac. Like one of those guys that you're around and you're like, I don't think we're the same species. I'm not sure.
He helps me out a lot. He always watches my sparring over and tells me things I need to work on.
Yeah.
So it's going to be
beyond the striking, I would imagine he's amazing at just being like a life coach, like helping you mentally 100%. Settle into a good spot.
And
right?
Being that I started out with, I started out with Tung Sudo, but Taekwondo and Tung Sudo are sister martial arts.
Okay.
So like my style, he and his style are very similar. So
nice.
My striking is getting better because he knows.
Like, that's awesome,
based
man.
Off of what I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
How long have you been working with him?
It's like November, December.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's like a hidden gem.
Yeah.
In the area for sure. He doesn't quite get the same amount of shine as a lot of the bigger gyms, but there's so many guys. You obviously come to mind. Bobby. Cody Law, like he works with so many guys that people definitely have heard of.
He's cornered Cody, I think, like almost every fight.
Crazy, right? Yeah. Have you worked with Cody at all since he's been
out? Not yet,
out?
But I think he's back, right?
He is, yes.
I'm sure I will end up working eventually.
Pretty exciting, dude.
Yeah.
I actually just met with Cody recently and talked about you a little bit.
Nice.
I won't tell you. No, it was good. It was all good.
Thanks. I hope you said good things.
Yeah, I did. I was like, he's super talented, man. Like if you can work with Miguel, I think it'd be a good pair.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about Amaris. And he said that Phil mentioned you as like somebody who comes in that he wanted Cody to work with.
Yeah, he says we're like opposite styles, so it'd be a good.
That's interesting.
Good thing because I'm a jiu-jitsu and a striking guy, and he's a wrestler originally, but his striking's super good. So.
His striking is like a way better. Yeah, it's crazy how fast. I mean, he's just a natural athlete and also totally married to the game. Like he's obsessed with it.
feel like you have to be when you're professional.
Right. When you combine those two things, dude, you can level up real fast. I think people forget because of those two losses he took, the one of which might, I don't know if that was really a loss, Cody Law took, but be that as it may, I think people forget like exactly how freaking good he is because of that. He's still 9-2, I think. Should that's be 10-1 in my opinion. Yeah. Like that's an insane record. Mm-hmm. Insane record. Sukas Liebert's in here. You may have heard of that guy.
Just a little bit.
Foster Eberle's in here. Dan Albright's in here. Dude, it's like every local fighter is tuning in for this one at some point. I love it. What's up? What's up, everybody? Wonder what Lucas is into these days. Saw him. I saw him trying to stir the pot a little bit on Instagram today for a fight.
That would be a great fight.
Insane fight, dude. I mean, obviously, like, look, we'll throw it out there. Of course we want to make that fight happen. It's a fantastic fight. Their grappling match was awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's run that.
And there's some bad blood, so you know it's going to be a we're going to buy it and watch into it.
For sure, man. And I feel like the records are very misleading there, too. Like, anybody who knows Gavin knows what he brings to the table. Yeah, but we see what Lucas brings to the table, too. Yeah, it's a sick fight.
He only gets better, too. Lucas just gets better every fight.
What is – because you've been there from the beginning. Like, almost, when Lucas moved here, pretty
almost
much,
the beginning. He was 1-0 whenever he moved here.
Yeah. I mean the beginning of Lucas being in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he lived with you, right? From the jump. Yeah. So what's like...
Not from the jump, but almost. He lived with me from like January to the summer of last year.
Right. Yeah. So what was it like for you, like watching his career develop now to being a 1-0 pro?
It was nice, man. It was great because like he's like an open book. He's always looking for information from anybody, always willing to learn. And he's such a good friend. Like, he's always helping people out. And always checking up on me and everybody. So I'm just glad to have somebody like that on my team, you know?
It's cool, man. It's cool to see good things happen to good people, for sure.
Right. He deserves everything that's been happening to him in a positive way, you know?
Speaking of pro wins, we got Sunshine, Britt Bicker, finally tonight? Making her pro. Is that tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight. I think it's tonight.
Oh, snap.
Oh, no.
Is it tonight or tomorrow, Danny Paul?
I think it's tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Bad. Okay, no worries. I was like, are we missing it? No. No, dude, that's awesome. But she's another one making her pro debut finally. I mean, we know as an organization how hard she is to match, and we've had fights fall out with her way more than I care to recollect. She's crazy to match, so I'm just happy she's
been trying to fight pro debut since her last amateur fight was January last year.
It doesn't even make sense. It's
been over a year.
But she's putting in work constantly.
Yeah.
Like, we see that. And obviously
she's another one just getting better every day.
You know? Longer you wait to fight her, the worse it gets.
Yeah. They're about to find out tomorrow.
Sir Matchalot in here, too. You ever hear that guy, Danny Palm? Some Jimothy Mooney?
Hey, you mean Buck?
That's Buck Mooney, yes. That's exactly who I mean. Let me check in on Facebook real quick to see if your dad popped in.
He's working right now, so I'm not sure. But
I did want to ask about your dad, too, dude, because it's very evident, like, with him, he'll like celebrate with you in the cage and stuff. It's very evident that you guys have a very close bond.
Yeah.
So what's his support been like? Not just throughout your fighting career, but throughout your whole life. Like, what's your relationship?
He's always supported me in my career.
Nice.
So when he was in the Philippines, he was too poor to be able to train. He never had the opportunity to, because he just had to work to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty much living his dream, you know.
Nice, dude.
When he was a little kid, he always wanted his three things. He wanted them. He wanted to move to America. He wanted to be in the military, and he wanted to be a fighter. And I you know, I'm all three of that. So I'm he's living his dream through me. So,
that's exciting.
Yeah,
it's got to feel cool for you too, though, to be able to give him, like, he's obviously you're making his life a lot better too by giving him these things that he's interested in.
Yeah.
What on the fighting side specifically? Because if nobody's ever seen how excited he gets when you win, you're missing out.
Like, so
dude, he's your biggest fan, like, rightfully so. What's that feel like when you win and you can look across the cage and your dad's there?
It feels great, man. Just being that I have him that's been sort of supporting me my whole life, that helped. That is a lot of
beautiful
motivation.
Man. Yeah, you know? For sure.
And he always says, like, his favorite fighter is Dustin Poirier, and he's like, you fight just like Dustin Poirier. And I'm like, I don't think I do, but I appreciate that.
You jump in a guillotine on Dustin? Is that
guess we'll find out.
On Facebook, not your dad, but proud of you, Miguel, from Aunt Tina, Berger.
That's my aunt on my mom's side.
Let's go. Yeah, so Aunt Tina's following along.
She's been supporting me for a long time, too.
What's it like for your family? I've always been interested with this and fighters in general. What's it like knowing that you're putting your family through like a lot of stress when you fight?
I try not to think about it, especially like those times when you lose. That's whenever it's hard for them.
Right.
But when you win, it's like such a good moment, because they're like super proud of you. Mm-hmm. But they're proud of me no matter what. They're exactly. just glad yeah, that true. I'm doing what I love.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Was the loss for you to Jake, how long did it take until you felt like you were like past it? What was that experience?
Probably once
like?
I could actually train again, because yeah. the surgery really had me sitting on the sidelines. And I think just sitting there and only thinking about like, man, I feel like this because I made a mistake. I think that's why it was so hard for me at the time.
Yeah.
But once I was able to start training again and get my mind off of things, get back into the gym, I think that helped a lot.
I mean, obviously the fight after with Cage Wars was a super impressive yeah. performance. Did you feel any of like the... like what you were just describing with Jake, were there any demons that you were battling like leading into that fight?
No, I had clear mind that fight.
Nice. What do you think? What do you attribute that to?
Just having support and just, I went back to the mentality of like, whenever I talked with you guys, whenever I first fought for 247, just I could have fun.
Yeah.
I was stressing too much about the fight because I'm like, oh man, fight for a title. It's in my hometown.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. This outside guy.
Yeah.
But now I just got to think like, I'm here. I'm grateful with the body that I have to be able to compete. And I just need to enjoy myself.
For sure.
Now that I enjoy myself, I don't take a stress to it anymore. I'm just happy to be here.
Living
my dream. You know?
Great mentality, dude. Yeah. To go into enemy territory, win the belt there with Cage Wars, like that had to be
that
a huge
That was crazy
moment.
Being
yeah.
out of state here. Yeah. There's that many boos. Walking yeah. out to a Pittsburgh song, Wiz Khalifa. I had a lot of boos walking out the black
did
and
you,
yellow.
Did you pick that song on purpose?
Yes.
Okay, all right, 100%. Good. I was like, please tell me you just like didn't think of that. And you were like, oh no, what did I do?
No, I was playing.
Did you see Timbo Slice walked out to Renegade for us out
I
of towner?
That's cool.
I was like, that's a good way to get the crowd back on your side. When he yeah. fought Cowboy Eddie, actually. So nice. He knew he would have like a big opposition crowd. He's like, I got to calm him down a little bit with Renegade. Yeah. It's a good call.
That's nice.
You thinking about your walkout song for this one yet?
So ever since I was a little kid and like watching, you know, all those guys growing up, I always wanted to walk out my pro debut to the it's kind of hard to do it now because Sean O'Malley took the song, but Superstar by Lupe Fiasco was always the song that I wanted to walk out to for my pro debut. But I'm not sure if I'm going to do it now because he kind of stole the song.
He did it. I think Lucas walked out to it too, didn't he, for his title fight?
I think when he fought Cam.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Rehab Center in the house too. Shout out Rehab Center. One of the best. Did you ever get work done by that?
I did. When I had my car accident, they helped me out a lot.
Well, that's a terrible reason to have to do it, but that said, they helped. Yeah. I went to, I forget what I was doing, dropping off tickets or something at the Matt Factory one day and said, what's up to Isaac. He was on the Rehab Center side. And he's like, come on, Hunter, let's get some yeah. stuff done. I'm like, dude, I'm just here to drop off. He's like, nah, come on. So he put me on the roller bed first and dude, that thing felt so good.
It does.
I was like, I'd never had anything like that done. First of all, like I never been adjusted, nothing like that. So I was real like apprehensive, like, dude, what is this going to be like? I don't yeah. know. Like, you know, like when something's new, right. you're just weird about it.
Yeah.
But like 10 seconds on that roller bed, I was like, I'll be here all day. yeah. And then Isaac did give me an adjustment too, which is That's a crazy,
yeah,
crazy
Isaac's
experience.
Such a good guy. Like you'll be in the middle of training on Sundays and I'll be like, you'll go like this and he'll just lay you down and crack your neck and then go
like,
back.
Dude,
back
I got roll. What you need. Yeah. I got what you need. Yeah. Truly in good hands, literally there yeah. with the Rehab Center. So if you guys need adjustments, Rehab yes. Center. Chiropractic, they're awesome.
And if you're in the Washington area, you can go to Robinson Chiropractic. It's one of my sponsors.
Oh dang, we got
right
warning
next,
sponsors
right next to the Meadows Casino.
Oh wow, okay,
the
nice, yeah. nice, dude. You do real well with the sponsors, dude.
Yeah.
I do want to shout that
one
out.
Another one of my big sponsors is working with you guys now, the Hurt Locker.
Dude, how cool is he?
Awesome,
what
guy.
A guy.
Like I'm not sure if you guys noticed, but I've noticed like. I've been putting on 10 pounds of muscle being with him.
Yeah.
I was a skinny kid. I've always been a skinny kid. Minus yeah. when I was fat. Like 10 years
minus
ago.
Minus when I was a fat kid.
Yeah. But besides that, yeah, I've my whole fight career, I've been a skinny kid.
Yeah.
So being that I got to put muscle back on and getting my diet set with, you know, Eddie.
Yeah.
Been helping a lot.
How do you note it? Oh, you're doing Immortal?
Yeah, I always
thought so. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah
so
that's
I
right.
I always do that with that, and then DeJesus' wife also helps me out on the side as well.
She definitely knows what she's doing
yeah,
in that realm too.
100%. So I'll do like a mix between them two. I ask them both for questions on my diet and nutrition.
Awesome.
And they're both pretty much very similar information.
I'm sure.
I just like to get opinions from multiple people.
Smart. Just like you like training with yeah. multiple people, it makes sense. James Padmore in the house. Just says stout baby.
He's a G man.
Matt Gaffney, Brady Joling. I sent the Blitz once again. Kyrell in here. Your wife's here now.
There we go.
Dang. She got the maiden name and the Instagram name too. That threw me off at first. I was like, who's this? Oh,
yeah, she kept both names. She kept them both.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. So pro debut, man. I want to talk about the moment. Like, what do you expect the metas to be like that night for you?
Probably electrifying like it was when I was there last time.
Do you notice that when you're walking out, or are you one of those fighters that gets like tunnel vision and doesn't even really
depends on the fight? Yeah, it depends on the fight. Whenever I fought the did my jiu-jitsu match, I was kind of zoned in. Maybe that might have been because I was coming off a loss.
Okay.
But a lot of the times I'm just like, I can hear everything. And then, but once like the first, once they announce my name, then I'm dialed in.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's it like? Because the Meadows specifically, the crowds there are always big, crazy, tight. Does it feel different to you there, like that environment versus Monroe, like we were talking about it earlier? Can you feel that as a fighter?
Like I said, it feels more like a fight club. Like every, you can like you look left and right and there's people literally like just like 5 feet away from you, so it's like hopefully nothing bad happens because a bunch of people can jump in the cage if they want. It's happened before.
By the way, guys, we have extra security for this event for real. So please do not jump in the cage. Don't even try to jump in the cage. It's not going to end well for you. I promise. It's not good. Jay Manning in the chat too. By the way, let's just throw it out there. If any pro middleweights want to fight April 20th, there's a guy named Jay Manning. He's 2-1. Pro middleweight. He needs a bout April 20th. We have asked many. And few have answered the call. And in fact, by few, I mean none. So if somebody wants to fight Jay Manning.
Nice, another pro card. That's a lot of pro
fights. Five on one card, dude? What's our record? Do you know, Danny Palm? What's the most pro fights we've ever had on a card? I think Bit B 10 or 11 had like comma.
Bit B 11 had comma Ethan Justin.
Was Schilling on there too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's at least four. I feel like there may have been a fifth. But maybe not. Maybe not. Four. Ryan says four is our max. There we go. So let's break it. Let's break the record. Come on, dude. Let's get Jay Manning in there. Get Jay Manning. Yeah. There's somebody else. Might as well, I'll just throw out the other person, too. There's another pro. There's potential for six. So we're also looking for Bridget Chase, who is Jay Manning's teammate. She's 4-2, 145 female. Matching females, like we were just talking about with Britt, it's brutal. The pool's super small. Especially when you get to 4-2 with like some experience in Invicta, like Bridget, it gets even crazier. So Ryan did say, let's get to six. So there you go. There's an open invitation, ladies and gentlemen. Let's break a 247 record. Get Jay and Bridget on there too.
I feel like that's the only way you're going to be able to top the February fight, man.
It's so funny. Another one of our sponsors, Russ Green, Go Green Windows and Construction. He always says like every event, he texts me afterwards and he's like, bro, crazy show. There's no way you're going to be able to top that one. And then the next show, he's like, I didn't think you could do it, but you topped that one. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I know. Like, I tell you, like, we got plans. We're trying. Like, we're always going to try to keep raising the bar. And so far, so good, man. That February was special. It really was special. We said that Bit B 16 last April in the Meadows with Victor Lapari, Pat, and Goss was on it. James Lito versus Ken Burns.
I was supposed
to
be on that card with Chris Ianari, and then I.
I forgot that was that fight.
That would have made it even bigger,
bro. Oof. Could you imagine if that was on there too? I mean, it sold out as it was, but it would have sold out way faster if that was on it. So we always said, like, oh, there's no way we're ever going to beat Bit B 16, and then Bit B 20 definitely.
Also, I gotta remember, I got tickets now, guys. So get at me for tickets, okay?
Listen, physical tickets are a dying breed nowadays. We're moving to like an all online system. However, Miguel, being a local hometown Washington, he's got people that want physical tickets. Yeah, understand.
I'll show up to your house and sell you tickets. I'll be like the Mormons that knocking on your door.
Absolutely.
I'll get some tickets sold.
And also, I don't know if you guys could tell the thickness of that packet, but there's a lot of tickets there. So
50 general admission. So we can get them all sold, guys. I did it last time.
You can definitely do that. As well as he has a few cage sides. So this is actually a real good plug for you guys. For you specifically, if you go on the site now and try to get tickets, there's no cage side tickets left. That's because they're in his hand.
I got 12.
Yeah.
So,
and same goes for like rows 3 for 5. It's super spread. Like,
not many left.
We say this a lot. And a lot of times I understand people think we're like kidding or like just trying to cause hype. But like, if you wait, you're really not going to be able to get tickets to the show.
Especially at the cage side ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially at
the casino.
Already
out too.
Yes. Exactly.
Casino's such a small, it's not a small venue, but compared to like
right.
Monroeville and Murraysville, it is a small
venue. Yeah, for sure. Like
so
we,
it sells out way quicker.
Exactly.
Than
exactly.
Plus, it's at a casino, and a lot of people like to watch fights at a casino because they can gamble after.
It is fun. It's a great one too. Go drink and gamble after you watch dudes punch each other in the face. That's freaking awesome. So, on the pro debut itself, dude, I want to talk. What's up, Nick Seto? First of all, Nick is a fantastic fan. Like, dude, I get so excited to see Nick every show. So what's
you know
up,
who also
dude?
Is a fantastic fan? Gary Lewis.
Dude, Gary Lewis, one of the best fans ever.
Best fan ever.
Mount
and
Rushmore.
He got me a job.
What?
I'm working with him.
Nice,
so, like,
dude.
Shout out to him. He is the greatest.
Let's go,
Pittsburgh
Gary Lewis.
Fan ever. And he sponsors me. So he's like the
trifecta.
Everything, man.
Yeah, dude. He's
very grateful for him.
If there's a Mount Rushmore of like 247 fans, definitely Gary Lewis is on there 100%. For sure. He's one of the best, one of the absolute best. We love Gary. Let's say what job did he get you first of
I
all?
Do overnight security now, which it's night because it gives me time to train in the morning and evening, and then I just rest during the day. It's a little tiring on the last day, but I'm getting used to it now.
You make it work.
Yeah,
you make when it comes to scheduling, like work, training, it seems like you make it work.
Yeah.
Very dedicated, focused guy when it comes to stuff like that. Have you always been like that, by the way?
Yeah,
like your whole life, just very strict, dedicated.
Just learned that from my mom. Yeah, I learned that a lot. So
nice, dude. That's huge. So on the pro debut, I want to talk more about your opponent a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because obviously, a lot of people watching know you very well, know your game very well, but probably nobody really knows much about Dustin Stanley. So I'm not asking you like reveal secrets of your game plan or anything, but like when you look at him, you accept a fight against him, like what kind of fight are you expecting?
He's a BJJ black belt, so I imagine he's at least gonna try to do he's gonna have a strong grappling game. I see he's had a few kickboxing matches as well, so he's probably an all-around great fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why I asked for this fight, because I know it's a tough fight, and you know me, I accept any fight.
Yeah,
I'll fight anybody. So and just being the fact that it's almost at the weight class that I want, it helps out a lot more having that mental knowing that I'm not going to be undersized. We're going to be the same size.
Nice.
Just being that my last fight, when I fought Jerry Valme, he was way bigger than me. So being that I know that there's somebody my size, finally, it's
awesome.
Yeah,
and that's no fluff from Miguel there. I can tell you guys the truth is like Miguel's never turned down a fight. Anybody we throw at him, Miguel's game, including grappling. By the way, like you probably grapple anybody. If we said Cody Law wanted to grapple, I'm sure you would.
It'd be a good match.
Besides the like teammate aspect.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be a fun match, nonetheless. But yeah, dude, it's a fun career. I've really enjoyed watching you get to this point. I think it's one of the really rewarding things of being in the promotion business is like watching these guys that we followed your amateur career all the way back to like the pinnacle days.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
We've known about you forever and worked with you several times. So to see you like climb and climb and climb, and I know it's always been on your mind, like you've talked about making a pro debut a lot. So to see it finally happen, dude, it's pretty special. So does it feel different for you going in, like knowing, hey, this is pro now? Like, does anything change?
Not necessarily, just because I've been, you know, doing this almost half my life.
Right.
More than half my life, that like, it's just another day.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta, like I said before, I gotta treat it like I'm always having fun and just happy to be there. So I'm just happy to be there.
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
I do gotta ask because it's fun. I feel like you probably train everything, but how excited are you to throw head kicks, elbows, all the
so happy.
Knees to the head?
So happy. Yeah. Me being, you know, originally a Tong Soo Do guy, I like to kick, but I don't, as you can see in my previous 247 fights, I didn't really throw any kicks. But that's because my style of kicking is more geared towards like flashy kicks. So I'll be able to finally throw that kind of stuff, like my spinning back kicks, my spinning roundhouse kicks, my heel kicks, and that's just my style. So it'd be nice to be able to finally show that, because all you guys have seen is just my boxing and my wrestling and jiu-jitsu.
I feel like there's a line. I've told this story, I'm sure, on the podcast before, but I was talking to Cody Garbrandt one time, and he was explaining how like harder guys to fight, sometimes it was like harder for him as an amateur fighter because amateurs are so unorthodox, sometimes untrained, like they're doing things that you would never do in training.
Yeah.
Whereas Cody had like a very strict like boxing background, like traditional boxing and wrestling. So he was like more by the book, so to speak. So when he got to the UFC and like went on that run, it was like, this is more what I'm used to. You know, like these guys fight more like what I'm used to.
No, I've had that experience too. Like I'll have more success rolling with a black belt and a white belt.
That's
just
crazy.
Because it's like you don't know how to react with the white belt because sometimes
a spazzy white belt.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. What do you think is your, because we talk about this a lot. Like, what do you think is your strength as a fighter?
My well-roundedness.
Okay. In my opinion. We're just right. All right, cool.
Yeah. Cause like when I started training in 2014, I started with kickboxing, boxing, and jiu-jitsu. I didn't start anything like specifically first.
Yeah.
I did them all at the same time. So
that's cool.
I'd say my strength is my well-roundedness. If I fight a striker, I can grapple him.
Yeah.
And strike with him. If I fight a grappler, I can grapple with him and strike with him.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. That's got to be freeing in the cage, right? Like,
and
just
being,
knowing.
And being from Pennsylvania, I got to work with a bunch of wrestlers, and I finally got to say that I can do takedowns now. You've seen with the Wiggins fight.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can do takedowns now, too.
That's awesome, dude. Because even when we, like, pitch you to coaches, they always want to know, you know, what's his style? What does he do well?
Like Kelvin Gastelum.
Like he's well-rounded. I don't know what to tell you.
Well-rounded
guy. Yeah. Kelvin, by the way, what a dark horse to win that series. Beat Uriah Hall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That was Uriah Hall's spinning back kick in that. That is one of the nastiest knockouts of all time.
He got that with the Gegard Mousasi, too.
Dude, I didn't even remember that.
The jump spinning back kick.
Did he knee him after it?
I don't
remember. Was there something else? Like
I think it was. It was like an uppercut or a flying knee.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Dude, Mousasi is. People are going to forget about Mousasi in 10 years, I bet. And that's sad because he was one of the goats. Yeah, one of the goats. That's like that era of UFC is more when I watch. Like now, when I've hardly ever watch it now.
I'll tell people about fighters from that era and they'll be like, who are you talking about?
Oh, see, that's like, crazy. That's like, where I would thrive.
People don't even know who Rory McDonald is anymore.
Oh, that's like, crazy. Like, that's unacceptable,
how
dude.
I do not know that.
That's unacceptable. There was a long period of time where everybody thought Rory was going to be champ forever.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Because he was at TriStar for a long time.
Exactly. He was like the next GSP.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was his UFC debut. I could be wrong, against Carlos Condit. And he looked amazing. Like, he looked amazing against Condit. And at the time, it was like, wow, this is way too much too soon for this kid.
Same when he fought Diaz, too.
Yeah. It was like, dude, he's just good.
Rory versus Lawler.
Dude, oh, I mean.
One or two. I'm just kidding.
Do fights get better than that?
One?
Yeah, right. One never happened, I don't think. It's just that one fight.
Yeah.
I mean, what would be your top fight of all time? What would you pick?
Me personally, it's between Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker
and
Cub Swanson versus Duho Choi.
Those are two insane picks, dude.
Swanson versus Choi, that was a banger.
I watched Swanson versus Choi in an airport. That's when I was like super addicted to UFC and I was traveling. I'm like, I'm not missing it. I just remember watching on my phone being like, oh shit. I'm like, I probably look ridiculous.
And an OG. You can't, one of the greatest also is Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner.
That one goes without saying. Yeah, that's like, you cannot forget that.
That's when I first started watching it.
Yeah.
That was the first UFC fight that I watched.
Nice, dude.
That Ultimate Fighter season one.
Cub also, I want to shout out for just being one of the coolest people I've ever met in the game. Like, he's incredible. On that same road trip series, actually.
Nice.
So we were going through, his gym was called True MMA. Mm-hmm. And he invited us to stay at his house. Like, he gave us his guest room while we were in town. And stayed at Cub's house for a couple. I'm like, dude, you don't even know us. Like, why would you do this? But he was an awesome guy.
Yeah. And he's still fighting, too.
Yeah.
I think he's 40 now, almost. Yeah.
And he's still whipping dudes.
And he moved down a weight class, too.
That's crazy.
And like being at that age, moving down a weight class, and Jersey Aldo did the same thing. It's just crazy to think.
It really is. It doesn't make any sense.
Especially because Cub's bigger than me, and he fights at 35 now. That's wild.
That doesn't make sense. I can't imagine him at 35.
Because I stalk his Reddit page, and it said that he walks around at 174. So he's 10 pounds, like 10, 15 pounds bigger than me.
Still makes it. Yeah, that's a different level. I do want to point out that I whooped his ass, though. It was at bowling, but I like saying I whooped Cub Swanson's ass and just leaving it at that.
I said that counts.
I don't even know how to bowl either, but I was on a heater that night, dude. Which is Ethan Goss in here, too, by the way. The champ is here. The champ is here with a big fight himself against Brady Huang.
Watching him when I was younger, him versus Rich Catalina. I remember watching that fight.
What a fight.
Live. It was a good fight.
Dude, that's real OG stuff there. Yeah, dude, you've been in the game. It's crazy.
Like, I was just that little 24 kid that years old. See over there. And now, like,
well, it's crazy that you remember it so well. Like, that's the crazy part.
I remember all the fights that I went to.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Was it always just so exciting for you? Yeah, like
so excited.
You get so hyped for fight night. Yeah, for sure. Ryan said the Swanson fight is his favorite too. That's nice. Awesome. I don't think I knew that. Roni3819, who might be John Roni in here. I'm really sorry. I don't know if it is for sure, but if it is John Roni of Roni Construction, another sponsor of ours, they're awesome. If you guys need any concrete work, any home construction, Roni Construction is the jam. And also keep an eye on the ticker if you're watching the video for more of our sponsor information. We're running some sponsors at the bottom. So the obligatory sponsor read out of the way. I did want to ask you about a sponsor that you had, and I forget what it is now, but it was like gummies or something. You had a sponsor that came out of left field for a minute. I was like, what is Miguel into right now?
Which one?
I don't know. It was like diet gummies. Something.
Oh, Jack Jams?
That's it. What is that?
It's jam.
It's like literally jelly?
It's so good.
Is it like healthy jelly or? Okay.
It's really good.
Nice, dude.
And she helps out a lot.
Is it local? It's a local company?
It's in Maryland.
Or? Okay.
So it's not too far.
How'd you get hooked up with them?
I just messaged them. I have a lot of success with this, just DMing people and asking if I can.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Truthfully, that's a great strategy. Yeah. And it makes me wonder, like, why don't more fighters do it? But how do you pitch? I want to know, like, what your pitch sounds like for them. Do you just say, I'm a fighter?
I said, I'm an upcoming, I'd say at the time, amateur fighter. We're making my pro debut soon. I'm looking to get some sponsors to add onto my shorts. I hope they can hear from you soon. If you have any questions, let me know. I learned that from Taylor Cahill. He told me to just message people, man. He said, what's the worst thing I'm going to say is no.
Yeah. So. Or just ignore you. That's no big deal either way.
Then move on to the next one.
Exactly.
It's like whenever you get rejected,
just go on.
Yeah.
Gabby just commented Jack Jams too. So there you go. But how'd you find them to begin with? Like, how'd you know to even reach out to them?
So one of my very old teammates back at Schrader's, she fought for you guys in December, Faith Nichols.
Oh yeah.
She's sponsored by them.
Shout out.
And
Faith
I messaged
Nichols.
Her asking what sponsors that she has that are willing to talk to other fighters. She mentioned them.
Dude,
and I was like, oh, hit them up.
Smart. She does a great job.
She's been training as long as me.
Yeah. I mean, she's been around the game forever. Yeah. Like when you really think about her background, it's nuts how long she's been doing it.
We both started in 2014. Isn't that wild to think?
How old is she? Roughly your age?
I think she's a year younger, year or two younger.
That's so nuts, dude. That's just crazy. It's cool though, man. It's cool to have all like that young generation that started.
There was in high school, there was a tournament. I'll try to send you guys a picture. It was a jiu-jitsu tournament, a local one, and it was in the podium. Third place, Carly. Second place, me. First place, Cam Allgaier.
Isn't that wild? That is so cool, dude. If you can find that, for sure, send that to us. I want to post that. That's so sick, dude. Andy Vaughn in here. Andy, I'm working on something for you too, bro. Stay tuned. Actually, tell your coach to answer me, Andy. Come on, bro. But yeah, we'll get that. So I want to drill into this pro debut just a little more, dude, because it begs the question of, like, we talked about with Lucas too. Mm-hmm. You're one of these guys who always knew you were going to turn pro. Like that was never in question. But how far forward do you map out your pro career? Like, do you literally just see this fight on April 20th against Dustin Stanley right now, or do you think about next steps?
I try to think one fight at a time. And then also in the background, I'll write down probably like my next 6 months that I plan.
Mm.
And I heard that you guys are going to Washington again, possibly in the summer. So
it could be very true.
If it is true and I don't get injured from this fight, maybe I might get on that one too.
Just turn it around.
Yeah.
It could be like, I don't know, June 29th. I'm just saying it could be that day. Jared Billy. What up? He said, Miguel Deku, looking forward to watching you put your foot upside your opponent's head.
Nice.
That's very descriptive, Jared, as I would expect. That's another guy.
Hey, if that's how it happens, you
can
probably
screenshot
give him some money,
that. Yeah. Jared is a strong contender for the Mount Rushmore of 247 fans, by the way, too, along with Gary Lewis, Russ Green, Stacey Scherer. I don't want to forget anybody, but dude, there are some people that are, we truly appreciate and see you guys. Thank you so much. But yeah, dude. So you don't map out too far ahead. It's not.
No,
like...
I think that's another reason why I was having such a stressful time with the Wiggins fight, because I was just mapping the pro debut, and I was like,
dangerous.
I gotta win this fight first, man. And then after the fight, I was like, oh my god, what do I do now? Yeah. I just lost my amateur title, And I said I wasn't going to turn pro until I won an amateur title. Well, I don't know what to do now. And
then
now I sat back and I was like, I got to think one fight at a time, 1 month at a time. Let's get this jiu-jitsu match. And then I heard that there was, I got a message from Cage Warriors, and I was like, let's do that too.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll focus on that. And then once we get that hump over with, then we can focus on the next thing.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Because talking to Lucas, he's obviously big on manifestation and writing down his goals and things like that. But there's definitely a delicate balance there where you can't get too far ahead of yourself, or else you kind of miss what's right in front of you.
Yeah, 100%.
And now you're set back. But I mean, are you one of those guys who truly sees every loss as an opportunity for growth? Got to be,
100%.
Right? 100%. Yeah. So from the Wiggins fight, what was your number one takeaway, would you say?
Composure.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
It's a good answer. Awesome.
Because I just sprinted. And a fight is not a – it is a sprint, but if you sprint the whole time, you're going to gas out.
Yeah.
Anybody. Unless you're Marab.
How does it – that doesn't make sense, dude. What is up with that? You do a ton of cardio, though, or at least your Instagram makes it look like you do a ton of cardio.
I do.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Oh, dude, that's crazy.
I have cardio to be told to not train so much.
That's a wild
I've been doing good. I've been doing good this one, this camp.
Toned
being
it down
that now it's a professional. I got a schedule set by Mike. I try my best to follow that schedule. Obviously, it's a little hard sometimes with it overnight, but
yeah,
I try to follow it the best I can.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
So obviously, you just said you don't map too far ahead, but I got to ask, like, the goal for you is UFC someday? 100%. Is that the end goal for you?
100%.
Nice, dude. What do you feel like? Have you always wanted to get to the UFC first of all, since you were that 7 year old watching Pinnacle and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So what's it feel like now making your pro debut, knowing that you're obviously 100 steps closer to that goal now?
It's like a checklist, man.
Nice,
one
dude.
Step down.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you see what, again, like you just said, you don't plan too far ahead, but do you see a path that's
manifested it.
Yeah.
I manifested UFC debut 2027.
Nice.
That's what I'm manifesting.
Do you see like a pro regional title being a step in that, or
maybe.
Just is there a certain number of fights you look for before just
one
ride
fight
out,
at a time,
take it at a
with
time.
This one
I like that, dude. That's probably the way to do it. Gabby said he went for a 2 mile run before this and did the sauna. You smell great, by the way, for having just did
I took a shower and sprayed some cologne on.
nice. I thought you were coming straight from open mat, and I joked with the guy. I was like, he's gonna spread staff to our hole. He's not showering after and just coming straight here.
Would suck.
Dude, how about Sugar Sean going straight to the club after winning the
with
title?
With his shorts still on?
Bro.
I heard he took his cup out at least.
Okay, I mean, you got to do that, right? But, dude, just like the staff risk is crazy.
Yeah. It was wild meeting him in person. He's not that much taller than me.
He looks so tall and lanky. Yeah,
I know, but like he's only maybe like half an inch taller than Lucas.
Wow.
He's not that much taller.
Yeah. That, I mean,
he's a nice guy too.
He's a special talent, dude. He really is.
He is.
Like,
and he just keeps getting better.
Yeah. It's pretty scary. I wonder, how do you feel about him chasing super fights right now?
Hey,
you like that?
He defended the belt against the one loss he had, even though he's undefeated.
I was going to say, I don't really consider that a loss, to be honest with you.
But anyway, he did avenge what people were saying. So
true.
I feel like he gets to do what he wants. He's the champion.
I guess that's true. When you're the champ, you get to call it. And not only the champ, he's in a unique position. He's not just the champ. He's one of the biggest superstars the UFC has right now. And you know, like the way they treated Conor.
He can do what he wants.
Yeah. He's obviously not Conor levels, but when you do have that kind of power. Yeah.
He's getting there, man.
He has a really unique audience, like between just his personality in general, the Twitch, the weed, obviously. Like he has that certain subculture that is all in on Sugar Shot. Yeah. And that is a large subculture these days, for sure. It's a
especially with
good
now that, like, his whenever he made his Contender Series debut, he was getting watched by Snoop, which is
how
another big
is
advocate for that.
Right,
so
right.
I just
it all adds
like a
in
snowball effect.
It all adds in, dude. Yeah. Dude, you said something earlier I wanted to loop back on, and that was when you competed at Sprawl. It sounded like you were real dialed in for that, like super focused, took it extremely seriously. Which to me. The reason I bring it up, like to me, when I watch grappling, and this is 100% just because I'm not competing, obviously, but it seems to me that like the grappling is a little more fun, like a little loose. It's not as serious if you lose, but the way you said it made me think, like, did you approach this the same way you approach a fight?
100%. I treat every match, no matter what it is, like it's going to be my last match, because you never know what happens in life, you know? And obviously I'm there to have fun, but I gotta do my best to win. And whoever's in front of me, I apologize, but we can be friends after, you know? That's and sick. I usually am friends with them after.
That's true.
There's so many people, even Wiggins, like me and him are good friends. I talked to him. I congratulated him on his fight. I hope a good career for him. But in that cage, different person.
How does that switch work? Because you're like one of the kindest people ever. Like anytime I've ever talked to you, I've never had to fight you, thank God. But like, what's the switch like?
I don't know how to explain it. It's just as soon as I'm even nice at weigh-ins. I'm sure you guys have noticed.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Once fight day comes, it's just, I don't know how the switch happens, but it happens.
Do you feel physically different or is it purely like a mental shift?
It feels more mental.
Yeah. Is it
way more serious too?
Yeah.
Not really joking around much.
Does your family, Gabby, kind of know that like fight day Miguel's a different human?
Yeah.
That's so cool, dude. I love it. Jared Billy said, do you think he'll still compete in grappling and kickboxing at the venue, even though he's turning pro next month? So I guess he's asking, like, do you still have interest in just 100%. Grappling, just kickboxing?
100%. I would love to do another pro grappling match. Hopefully, at a higher belt, maybe face a purple belt or something, or a brown belt.
Nice.
And then I want to make my pro boxing debut sometime this year.
Oh, nice, dude. That's exciting too.
Yeah, I've been talking with them about that. I was gonna there's a boxing card a week after 2 for 7 fights in the same location.
Yeah.
And
McSorland and Integrity. Nice.
Yeah,
dude.
They asked me to get on that card and I said I apologize, but I don't think a week's long enough.
Yeah, that would be rough.
So
unless you win in like 10 seconds or something.
Yeah. But they don't want to risk it. So
as you know, with our contracts, like we can't risk that either. It's way too dicey.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of times nothing happens and you could have done it, but it's unfair to the opponent, to the people who bought tickets. Like if something does
100%.
Happen, it's crazy.
So yeah, we'll just focusing on this fight. Maybe a pro boxing thing sometime this year.
Love it. The very handsome Luke Payson in the chat too. He said, let's go. Great pro debut for Miguel as the fourth pro fight on the card.
Hopefully I can get on the MMA Fancast again.
There's the shout out, Luke. There's your green light to slide in that. You just heard Miguel say he slides in DMs all the time to get what he wants. So it's your turn to slide into Miguel's to invite him on the podcast. That's perfect, dude. Well, obviously, man, we're crazy excited for this fight. Super genuinely an honor to have your pro debut. April 20th, ladies and gentlemen, Hollywood Casino at the Meadows in Washington, Brandenburg 21. We'll show them that stack of tickets again so they know what's up.
Yeah.
If you need tickets, get them from Miguel. If you can't get them from Miguel, 247fighting.com is the way to go. But genuinely, if you want front row cage side tickets, they're all gone online.
That's me, man.
You got to get them from a fighter who has them. So that's that, man. Let's do this thing. We're excited to have you, bro. Thanks for coming back in.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to Dustin for taking this fight. And I hope we make it a banger.
I have no doubts. Let's go. Let's have some fun, ladies and gentlemen. April 20th. Get it.